just a few years before you left that they were changes were being made.
Yeah, the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, it had started in slow, you know. As you start out, then you get the mine ride, and then you get some of the other concessions. Then they had to buy some land and expand for parking, see? And there was so much vandalism, they finally had to put a fence around all of Ghost Town. Mm-hmm. So that made it kind of... kept out the bad ones, all right. We didn't have as much vandalism.
Well, and then they started... That was about when they started charging admission.
Yeah, and then they started charging admission.
Before that, there was no admission charge?
No admission.
No. There was no admission at all. You could go and spend all day in Ghost Town.
Well, they had to make money from the kitchen, selling pies and stuff like that.
Or if you ate anything.
That's how they got started making money, was getting people out there to eat their
When they first
pies.
Started there, Mr. Knott told us that every year everybody says, "Why don't you get rid of that old car and buy a new car?" He said, "No, we'd get this black topping and paint the top of that old car we had, Ford, and so it wouldn't leak as much as it did, and then go ahead and grind the valves, and clean it up a little bit, use it another year, and use that money to buy a little more land." Now, that's the way they started.
They had a berry farm, that's what it comes
yeah,
from.
Yeah, that's what they started, raising berries.
Selling berries.
They had a little bitty stand by the side of the road.
And then somebody started making, Ms. Knott started making pies?
Well, before that, he raised a big crop of beans, and beans were selling for so much a pound. So he went to a big restaurant and says, "I'd like to contract you all of my beans." And he cut the price way down, but says, "I want you to buy all the beans that I can raise this off of this whole crop." And they thought that was a good deal. And he said, "Them beans kept barren all summer, and the fall came and they're still barren." And finally the owner of the restaurant said, "My God, aren't them beans ever going to, aren't they ever going to quit barren?" And then there was another funny one about Mr. Knott. This is after they got quite a bit of money, and one of the guys was trying to sell him Lincoln Continental. He says, "What, Mr. Knott, why don't you buy you a Continental? Your son has a Continental and your daughter has one." He says, "Well, my father wasn't a millionaire."
Did he always drive a Ford then?
Huh?
Did he always drive?
He always liked the Ford, and they finally got rid of that Ford some way and got a bigger car for it. But he says, "I've always liked Fords."
But people come out there, he dresses up with the ghost town and that old calico.
Well, didn't they start the chicken dining room first?
Yeah, in the original they started, when they were selling them beans and berries, then Mrs. Knott made a definite statement, and she was an old war horse too. And she says, "I don't mind making a few pies, but I ain't going into the restaurant business at all." Uh-huh. And when I left there, you could have a party of 500 people
in the restaurant.
And
she was running it.
And she's running it.
But they started on Sunday, maybe it was just Sundays, they had chicken dinner or something. She started cooking chicken dinner?
She said, "Well, I'll make a few pies in this little stand." They still have that original stand. They're selling berries, and they had more berries than they could sell. So she says, "I'll make a few pies, and we'll sell them, but I'll be darned if I'm going to run a restaurant." So they made a few pies, and they went so good, they made more pies, and finally they started a little restaurant. And that's the way it started.
And then the original Ghost Town, he bought some of that from...
Calico?
Calico?
Well, now Calico was a different gnome. He may have, but they brought some of that Ghost Town stuff from all over the United States. He developed Calico on his own money.
Oh, up there at Calico.
At Calico, yeah. He developed.
There was an old mine up there.
Yeah. And it run in the red, and he spent his money developing it, and then some of it was state land. He wanted to buy some state land for parking, and they asked him about $500,000. You know how governments are.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to stick everybody that has any money.
Mm-hmm.
So he made a little money on it about 1 year, and the tax people put the pressure on it till he finally gave it to the state, the whole thing. And I don't think he ever got nothing out of it.
He didn't move anything down from up there?
Some of the stuff may have been moved from there. I'm not sure. But I know he went to Arkansas and numbered the logs on some of those log cabins, mm-hmm. and reset them up at Knott's.
Mm-hmm.
They did that, and then they made a replica of the bottle house from Virginia,
mm-hmm.
Up in Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's, you remember,
oh, from Virginia City?
Virginia City, I believe it is.
Well, they moved that Church of the Reflections down from Whittier, didn't they? The where we, Kathy and I got married?
I think they did. I think that's a move. Church was moved in there. I'm not sure.
Well, most of that stuff was just to attract people in there to the restaurant.
The restaurant?
It was sort of a hobby. Was it more of a hobby?
With him, yes.
The ghost town was sort of something he just kind of wanted to do, I believe.
They got to having, the chicken dinners went over so big that they'd have a line of people a half a mile long. Yeah. So he says, I'm going to build one or two old buildings, and so they can wander around in there till they can get their dinner. We'll call them, and then they can come and eat dinner. There's so many people trying to get dinner there. So he started that, and it just kept growing, and the lines got longer, and the people, he kept adding to it, and it finally got real big.
Well, didn't he use the land where his trees were?
Yeah, there's no berries left or trees.
The berries?
Yeah.
Well, they got rid of most of the berries. Finally.
So he finally was completely out of that business, and he was in a...
Well, now, there was a guy named Frenchie there in Sunbeam. She was an Ottawa Indian. She worked there a long time. And old Frenchie and another Cherokee gal, boy, they was broke. And berry season came in, and Sunbeam told us, why don't you go out there and pick... these boysenberries, you make some money, that'll help some. And them two went over and picked berries, and they came by where we were about 5:30 or 6, and they looked like they'd been in 20 fights with wildcats. They were clawed from head to foot, and their clothes were torn, and their faces were sunburned. They were a mess. They were exhausted from picking those berries.
Well,
the berries were boysenberries.
Boysenberries.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah, but now they're really not. Yeah. You can still go down in any of these grocery stores and buy Knott's jams and syrups.
Well, somebody else does it, I guess.
No, they still have the...
the cannery right there.
One of the son-in-laws says, I'm going to put in a cannery here. Anyway, they didn't want it, but he said, I'm going to put it in anyway. So he started making cannonberries, mm-hmm. and then they made pickles, and then they made all that stuff. Well, you can still buy it.
You can find grocery stores right here in Clovis handle Knott's Berry Farm jellies and jams.
The land became so valuable that they built houses and, well, used to be right where I lived there in that little old house. Used to be as high as 2 or 3 cars a day went by my house. Now you've got Sears and JCPenney and malls and 5,000 cars running by the freeway where
We lived right on Knott's Berry Farm property.
Well, now.
And it was a little old. It was some property he had bought
out. Old property. Had a two-story old house.
Old
we lived there.
Wood frame house. And, well, the upstairs, there wasn't upstairs, but you had to go outside to go upstairs.
Yeah. One room up there.
Yeah, you had to go outside to...
Hey, there's kids walking the fence out
there. Yeah, I saw.
Oh, that's our neighbor.
You had to go outside, and I loved that place, though.
I did, too, and the beautiful trees.
How far was it? It was right on the farm?
It was... Well, it's all part of the... It's where they have the Independence Hall now. It's pretty close.
and a lake and another merry-go-round. They cut out all the berries, and it had walnut trees, and it had apricot trees.
Lemon trees, apricot.
He must have made a lot of money selling off some of that land.
No, he didn't sell any of it.
He didn't sell any. He had to keep buying land.
He bought all that he could there.
So they built up around him.
Yeah, all around, and they cut down all the berries to put in that
amusement
stuff.
No,
and now then they get the berries grown up further north, and they're not near as good as the old berries. That is marvelous berry country.
Well, and those orange trees, that place where it was...
Orange is the same way.
It was such right there where that Orange Thorpe is and Staten Boulevard, and it's right today. They have that big mall there with Sears and all that. That they had orange groves on three corners. Bacon's, the people named were Bacon, had that farm, and they had alfalfa on the one corner. It was such a blind corner because those orange groves went right up there that the school buses, I walked down to that corner and got a school bus, and they had mirrors on the corners so you could see if anybody was coming from the other direction.
Going down the trees.
Because the trees grew right up there.
Did the mirror up in the center of the intersection?
No, it was on kind of on one corner.
On a corner in such a way that you could see if there's a car coming.
No, the only place I've
and there wasn't any cars coming to mount to anything.
Yeah.
No, it was country. It was when we moved out
and
there.
And they bought all of that land and turned it into that.
Well, see where that not when we moved out there, they didn't even have a high school. They had some elementary school. They had one grocery store and they had a dime store. And that was all there was to Wayne Park, and that's where Knott's Berry Farm is. It was country almost.
Yeah, it was just country. Country. I'd walk through that orange grove
to go to work.
I didn't have to even drive the car.
No, it was just because that Beach Boulevard kind of divided. I don't know if it's still, I think they probably, I don't know what they did now. But Beach Boulevard.
Is that the one on to the west of the farm?
Well, it kind of intersected.
Oh, it went right both sides.
Yeah.
Yeah, both sides. It was a funny thing then when we had a power at my house in that little house.
Yes.
And old Push Mataha brought two kids, and on the way there, he told them, said, all Indians eat dog meat.
He's joking with him and playing with these
and
two boys.
Said, says, they eat dogs. And we had a feast there, and everybody's stuff. We had,
I mean, chocolate cakes, chocolate pies, I mean, stews, everything you
stew.
Can think of.
And I don't remember what all we had, and some of them brought covered dishes. And it is a regular feast. And them two kids sat over there stiff-necked the entire time.
I mean, they wouldn't eat a piece of pie.
They wouldn't touch nothing.
They wouldn't eat a piece of cake.
They wouldn't
eat a piece of
coffee. Nothing.
It was later you found out they thought it was
I wondered what in the thunder's wrong. Boys always eat. And old Push told me the next day, he says, as I told them about, they all eat dogs so they wouldn't touch nothing.
That was cruel.
Well,
I don't know, he was kind of a joker, and I don't, you know,
he was
I think
just
he
joking,
was just
I'm
kidding.
Sure with that
and, I don't think he realized that they had really believed him probably till later. Was that the same night those... Were they called mountain goats, those people that...
Oh, the mountain goats.
That's a funny story.
A family of... they were Crow Indians, and their name was Mountain Goat.
It was
and they deserved that name, too.
It was a good name for
them.
They
lived there at the farm?
No, they were down in Vista and heard about this power, and like most Indians, they're hungry and don't have a job. And they do have a big appetite.
And a bunch of kids to go with it.
So the old man, he's the only one who had nerve to even come in the house. The rest of them stayed in the car out there. The women and all them kids. He'd come up and get a plate of food and then take it back. Pretty soon he'd come up and get food for some more of them and then take that back. And I had a... what kind of food?
Apricot tree.
Had an apricot tree.
There was
that
about
was
three
loaded.
Of them. Wasn't it two or three of those apricots?
No, it was just one apricot. Just one apricot. But it's 20 feet tall. It's a real tall one. And covered with apricots. And the next day, Marie says, I want you to go out there and get some of those apricots to make a pie. And I went out there, and there was not even one apricot on the tip branch 20 foot out up at the top of that tree, how they could climb that tree.
That's the only thing we got.
And eat every apricot on it and get everyone in the dark was beyond me.
I don't know.
Well, took them to the car and took them home or wherever.
Well, I don't know.
That's the only thing we can do.
It was that bunch called the goat?
Mountain goat.
Mountain goat?
That was their name.
Mountain goats.
They could climb trees.
I bet that made Marie mad, didn't it?
No, she laughed and laughed and laughed. We've laughed about that for years. How in the world they could climb them trees and go out on them little bitty limbs way out there and get that last apricot was beyond me. I thought surely they'd missed one in the dark.
But what you don't know is my dad, he used to always, any stray Indians he found, he always invited them home. So, you know, all these people got invited. Mother told me the story about the one time when you was living somewhere, it was before I was ever born or anything, when you'd invited some stray Indian home. And you weren't home, and so he went on to into your house.
The one that scared the Apache?
Well, he was, I guess it was. I think it did scare her.
I don't know. I've had so many crazy ones. When we was first married, we went out and worked for Hinky in the decorating business, and we rented a little old bitty two-room, and it had a pull-down bed. And I think it was about $14 a month or something. Wasn't very much. And he says, I'll have to see you, before I'll rent it to you, I'll have to see your wife. And I said, well, what for? He said, well, you might be married to a nigger, and we don't allow no niggers in this area. And I kind of snickered and said, well, I'll bring her down. So I brought Marie down, and he saw she was a white woman, so he said, okay, I'll rent it to you. And today, that is solid niggers, nothing but niggers. Everywhere there.
Is that where Uncle Chuck lived?
Huh?
Compton?
No, that was right in Los Angeles.
Oh, right in LA.
Right in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Down on
Probably Slauson. Probably in Watts.
No, it was Slauson and one of those main streets.
Well, he just let somebody come in there with a white man coming with a Negro wife, didn't he? And it started the whole thing.
Well, somebody did, I guess. When I went to work in 1941, in El Segundo, there was about a 4x8 sign right in the edge of town. No niggers or Jews allowed in this town.
Is that right? Niggers and Jews?
Niggers and Jews. No niggers and Jews allowed in this town of El Segundo.
El Segundo.
And it disappeared during the war. But I didn't see it when I went there and rented the house. We had a beautiful house there.
That's where it was, where you lived, El Segundo.
Yeah, El Segundo, during the war.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked for North American Aircraft, made airplanes.
Was it Northrop?
No.
Just North
America? North America.
Yeah.
But those are some weird times, I'll tell you.
Well, when was to get back to Bourne's? When was the last time you saw David Bourne?
There at Magic Mountain.
That was the last time?
Yeah.
Well, now, Kathy, we've been out there twice, and we've seen him.
We went and visited him when they still lived in Hollywood, and then we went and visited him when they moved out to Agoura. We have some pictures somewhere.
You've seen him three times, then.
Tell it, Ridgely, he's probably heard it about Kiwi. You know, he really liked Rachel.
Well, when they first came here and we first met him and we'd gone on that picnic and he, I guess he just kind of took a liking to Rachel. And so
she was about a year older.
And we were talking about going out that summer to visit. And so we had mentioned this, that we was going to go and visit him, or he had asked to go visit him. And anyway, the conversation got around, well, we need to get their address. And he says, oh, no, we'll just drive up and down all the streets till we see her out there playing.
He was going to drive up and down Hollywood, all the way LA.
I met all of California, because I'm not even
California.
Sure.
California. Drive up and down till you see him playing out in the yard. Huh?
That's all he had to do.
He thought it'd be real easy.
And they lived kind of up on a hill, on the side of a hill.
And they lived in what was an old carriage house that had been made into a house.
And she was she was a potter.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she gave me a beautiful piece of pottery. Mm-hmm.
She was working in pottery.
And then the next time we was out there, we went to Agora.
Agora, and then moved
out
to Agora.
Yeah, they moved to Agora.
Yeah.
And she'd got into some oil painting, I believe.
But I don't know how, Dave, he's not retired, is he?
No, remember we got an announcement not too long ago that he had started working in a new place. That he'd sent a nice little announcement telling us that he had wasn't working in Casey's after 15, 20, yeah. 25, I don't know, a long time he's worked at this Casey's, and his, I don't remember the name of the new place, though, that he was moving to work. And I think he said he still works part-time or once a week or something at the...
Well, of course, you've seen him more than I have.
Yeah, though recently, you saw him way back there.
Way back there. But I don't remember a lot of the details about Bourne. Of course, these other guys, some of them stayed there for years and years and years, like I did. But there's so many people changed and moved.
When did Mr. Day leave the Indian village?
About 3 or 4 years after, I retired.
They closed it up?
No, they left. Yeah. Didn't they leave before you did?
Huh?
Didn't they leave before you did?
Yeah, they left about 3 or 4 years before I did.
And they retired back to Arkansas? Fort Smith?
Arkansas. They run the village there. And Frank secretly took all the stuff to Red Mountain up in Northern California, up in the old gold country, up where the yellow aster mines and those places up there.
You mean his stuff from the
from the Indian village. And the farm wanted him, he had a lot of layaway, says, well, you leave that with us and we'll collect it and send you the money. And he says, no, I just don't think so. I will take care of it myself. And he had already told all of these people that had layaways, and he had the same phone number at his home as he had at the Indian village. And some of those smarties at Knott's Berry Farm wanted to get that same phone number, and they finally put in a little old Indian deal, and it just didn't go over.
After he left, huh?
After he left.
At the same place.
Well, yeah, remember, same place. And then missed after, where did they retire? They went back, was it Arkansas?
And then they bought an A-frame house at Sugarloaf Lake in Arkansas. That's about 20 miles from Poto.
From Poto?
From Poto. Over in
Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. That's a beautiful place. But that's where Ethel Day got sick, and she eventually passed away.
And she's buried over there.
And she's buried there. And the daughter Rainbow was in Canada and became a Canadian citizen, and she had cancer. And finally passed on, and they buried her, and I didn't know that till recently, right by the side of her mother, in Arkansas.
What about Frank Day?
As far as we know.
He found him a new wife and went back to California.
Scott saw him.
Scott saw him one time.
With another woman, and he figured it must have been another wife. That wasn't too terribly long.
Scott says, I presumed it is his wife. I know
Well, he's older than you, Rich.
Yeah.
I know it about 4 years. He's about 4 years older than me.
But now, I mean, he could have passed on now, but last we knew, he was still living.
That's, 4 or 5 years ago? 3?
But you really haven't seen him since a long time.
Well, you went back and visited him when they lived in Arkansas, though.
Yeah, I went back and visited him once, and then when Ms. Day passed on, we went back to the funeral and went to that funeral.
You and Marie.
Marie and I.
Now, Rainbow had one little girl, didn't she? She got married and
had one little girl. And where she is, I don't know.
Well, then, this friend that Rainbow had, then she was married and divorced, and then Rainbow had this friend, this woman friend, that they were living together in Canada.
Yeah.
I can't remember her name, though.
And I don't know what went with her. She was doing some singing in one of the churches or something, but they had worked in restaurants and stuff. That's about all. I never heard much up from them after they.
They just had. There. Was she adopted girl?
Rainbow.
We never knew.
Well, he didn't have any other kids,
no,
did he?
No, she was the only one. Rainbow was the only one that.
As far as we know, whether she was an adopted child, she was so different from Frank or Ethel. She could be as cantankerous as all get out when she wanted
well,
to be.
Typical on the child, though.
Yeah. But anyway, they moved up there.
She's a pretty woman, though.
I don't know if I ever saw her, no, I guess I didn't.
She was, well.
Did she work at the farm? I mean, at the
Indian She worked at the Indian village some. And.
Well,
I
she
don't know
went.
Where else she
okay,
went.
There's a real cute story. You know the Lances.
Who?
The Lances.
Yeah,
Joanne
Norval,
and Norval Lance.
Yeah.
So when you, how did you meet Norval first?
He came to the Indian village.
Okay, well somehow Norval and Rainbow went out. They took Norval and Rainbow took Scott and I to the circus down in Los Angeles somewhere. We went all went to circus together.
This was before Norval got married?
Oh, yeah,
yes.
A long time. Mm-hmm. We were just kids. And they bought each of us a chameleon.
Yeah.
Scott and me and both, and took us to the circus.
A
and
chameleon?
I was
yeah, they're little lizards. They changed colors.
They bought you one?
Yeah. Scott had one and I got one.
It's just like what you wanted.
Yeah, we wanted it. Yeah, you pin them on you, and then they change colors to match your clothes.
Isn't that clever?
I thought that was real clever, just real. And but I think that was the only time he ever went out with her, wasn't it? He decided he didn't want
anything
to do it.
No, he went once or twice, and he saw that wasn't for him. And then when he started going with Joanne, I told old Norval, I said, "You better forget that Rainbow." And not let this one get away.
And I think their first date, they came to your house, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Or something, Joanne and
Norval. Yeah, their first date.
They came to your house.
Well, now, Rainbow was kind of silly.
She was contained.
She could be
an angel when she wanted to, or she could be a devil. Either one.
I bet she was pretty, though.
Oh, she was.
She was a pretty girl.
I remember.
Was she older than you, then?
Oh, yeah, she's older than I was. She was, oh... 5-6 years older, would you
yeah,
say?
Yeah, something like that.
Because she was kind of, I was still kind of a kid, but she was just barely grown up, I guess.
Took you and Scott?
Mm-hmm. She was maybe 19, 20 at that time, and I was about maybe 12.
Well, Ms. Day could just be awful when she wanted to be.
She
but Ms. Day was always good to my kids, all of them. Mm-hmm. She was real nice to them.
Well, they were interesting people.
Yeah, and
they
helped
people.
Us a lot. Now,
yeah.
We'd have gone hungry two or three times if it hadn't been for the days. And they had a lot of extra canned goods and gave us a bunch of extra canned goods. And I'll remember Palefaces, they gave this food for Indians. And they had some black beans which originated in Germany.
Black beans?
Black beans.
In a can?
In can. Black beans, which originate, I guess it's canned in this country. And so I opened a can of them for Kathy and I. Maria's gone somewhere working or something. And I took a couple of bites and I thought, boy, these are terrible. And I ate them anyway. And I thought, well, Kathy won't know the difference. Pretty soon she said, "Daddy, do we have to eat these beans?" I says, "No, we don't." And we threw them in the trash and opened a can of corn.
Oh, no.
The corn was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were an odd
that.
Brand, huh?
Oh.
Well, they had, how was it? These were donated to poor Indians or something, and we somehow
they
got
could
some.
They have a meeting. These Indian Y guys could have a meeting at the Indian village and have the campfire. And the only charge was this, to bring a can of food to donate to the Indians. And they gave it to the Pueblos and Navajos or whoever needed it. And a couple of times I needed some of it and she gave me a bunch of it. So I knew then why the Germans left Germany. If I'd have had to eat them things over in Germany, I'd have left too.
It was like they picked out the cheapest can of anything they could possibly come in.
Cheapest can that you could find of anything.
Oh, Lord.
I wonder how the Indians ate them, too.
Well, if you're hungry enough, you'll eat them. But, but I'm telling you, Kathy and I wasn't quite that hungry. Those were some great old days back there.
Yeah. You know, you were out there from about 52, 53, somewhere in there, to 70.
I went out there. I went out there.
In
41, during the war.
Yeah.
And I stayed 3 years and worked 3 years. And I quit the aircraft. I could see the handwriting on the wall before the war started. That defense stuff from Washington was a bunch of baloney. They knew they was going to have a war and they planned it. So I knew I would have to work, either go in the Army or work in aircraft. So I went out, went to school, learned aircraft welding, and they hired me as sheet metal. And I was glad of that. I beat welding. So at the end of the 3 years, I decided I'd had enough, and I knew it was going to be a mess anyway when it stopped. So I quit and got stamps for gasoline and moved back here and then to Oregon and messing around up there.
Well, now, did you come, now that I was already born then.
You was born during the 3 years I worked
there. Yes, yeah, I know, I was born out there. Now you moved back. I can remember we went to Agate Beach or something. I wasn't sure which.
Yeah, then we moved up to Oregon.
But you came back here first?
Yeah.
And lived for how long, or just stayed a short while?
Wasn't very long till I run out of money.